What's up, baseball family? Welcome to tonight's Thursday Night Live. I'm Brig. I'm flying solo. Brad's got some family stuff he's in the business of taking care of, and we salute him for that. Anyway, we're going to get into it tonight, just me and you. If you're watching from where you're watching, I want to know. So jump on and shout out. Tell me where you're at and your name if you'd like, and I want to know. I think that'd be super cool. All right, baseball family, we got a couple of things to get into, and some of it's pretty hairy. And if you're watching on YouTube or anywhere, you can see that we're going to talk about Ipe Mizuhara, because that guy is getting what he deserves about right now. We have some updated news on the Shohei Ohtani gambling scandal with his interpreter, and I want to bring you the details right now. So, first, and I'm going to read some of this. First, Ipe Mizuhara is now said to have stolen $16 million from Shohei Ohtani. Some of the highlights are that he impersonated Ohtani during the process, and federal investigators have discovered the following transaction details. So, his lowest bet that he placed was $10. The greatest dollar amount, the bet that he spent the most on, was $160,000 at a time. This is crazy numbers to me, the $160,000 on a single bet. His earnings over the course of his betting, and I'm going to get into the dates in a moment, but just so you know, he won $142 million. During his betting tenure under Shohei Ohtani's, I don't know, nose, I guess, with Shohei's money. And losses over time, $183 million in total losses. For those of you actuaries out there, that's a net loss of $40.7 million total. $40 million in losses. Unbelievable. So this is obviously illegal and fraudulent, and the wire transfers began November 2021 and they ended January 2024. A total of that $16,000 or $16 million rather were placed on bets. The bulk, as reported by the LA Times, the bulk of those bets apparently showed were $15 million, so almost all of it, from February 22 to October 23. Just think of the timeline there. That's a whole lot of money. That's, what does Brad say? That's a whole lot of tortillas in a very short amount of time. $15 million from February 22 to October 23. Within the official documents that we have access to as in the reporting community, Mizuhara made an average of 25 bets per day between December 21 and January 24. And again, anything from $10 to $160,000 at a time. They seized his cell phone, obviously, and obtained all the records between him and the bookie. And one text message read, "I'm terrible at this sport betting thing, huh? LOL." That was a November 2022 text. He comes back with another text that says, any chance you can bump me again? ! As you know, you don't have to worry about me not paying. Now, further reading of the situation and the case as it's being presented and as the legal complaint has been released, we see that the bookie says, initially, yeah, you're good for it. Whenever you want, I'll bump you. And they would continue to increase his credit allowance, is what the bump means. They continue to increase his credit allowance because they knew it was never going to be a problem. He'd always made his payments until he stopped being able to make his payments. And then they came after him. He's been vouching. This bookie number one has been vouching for Mizuhara to another group of bookies or some kind of overlord or something, whatever the underworld looks like. So it's all unraveling very quickly for Mizuhara. As of right now, though, it's worth noting that there is no evidence yet of any of the bets having been placed on baseball. So, and that's not just for what it's worth. That's a big question we've all been wondering about. Like, did he ever bet on baseball of any kind, particularly Major League Baseball? As of right now, there's no evidence to say that he did. There's no suggestion of that, which is crazy. That's, to me, that's crazy. It's going to be great for Ohtani if that ends up being the case. But right now, I don't know. That's shocking. Guy working in and around baseball forever, like that whole time. Doesn't make sense. All right. That's story number one. Story number two is far more heartwarming. We are going to talk about Jackson Holliday, who made his major league debut this week. And he's 20 years old, by the way. He's 20 freaking years old, guys. So his dad was in attendance, obviously, and the rest of the family were there. And Jackson Holliday, during his time, obviously during the interviews, was very humble, very poised. In this play, you can see right here, he turns a double play. He said at AAA Norfolk, one of the things he wanted to do was be able to turn a double play better, being a second baseman. We see him successfully accomplishing that at Fenway. Right here in the video, we see his first at bat. He swings and misses, totally struck out, but it was a hit-and-run play, and the runner advanced. Then, on a fielder's choice, he reaches base for the very first time, and then we see right here, he got his first out at the big leagues. So, congratulations to Jackson Holliday. He is officially a big leaguer and is officially 20 years old playing in the majors, which is, the guy's insane. His stats are insane. So far his accomplishments have been incredible just in the short amount of time he's been there. He is on a meteoric rise and doesn't appear to be slowing down at all. So me, even though he's a division rival, he plays for the Birds. I'm here for it, man. I am here for it. Congratulations to Jackson Holliday and to his family. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that a couple things I found interesting. During his call-up, they asked him, they brought up his dad a lot, the AAA club. They said, you know, have you talked to your dad? Do you know what it was like for him here at this level? You know, all the time you spent in the big league clubhouse growing up and all the time he was able to get you a pass to be there, how has that helped you, you know, in your development? Whatever, right? And I just think it's worth noting that they actually found Matt Holliday, which is something that you can do if you're in Oklahoma, but he still hasn't touched home plate. So if, for those of you wondering, he was in attendance at Fenway and still has yet to touch home plate. So there's that. Okay. Last thing, we're going to get a pretty short broadcast tonight, but I just want to tell you a couple things. Actually, Giancarlo Stanton becomes the 15th active player to have hit a home run against all 30 Major League Baseball teams. He did that this week, which is pretty incredible. Look at the company he's keeping now. Mookie Betts, Nick Castellanos, Randall Grichuk, Manny Machado, Martin Maldonado, JD Ramirez, Andrew McCutchen, Matt Olson, Marcelo Ozuna, Hunter Renfroe, Eddie Rosario, Carlos Santana, Kyle Schwarber, and Jorge Soler. Those are the other 14 guys who have homered off of every major league club, and they're still actively playing. Pretty neat. Pretty neat. Now, we got to talk about this. April 8th was the 50th anniversary of a tremendous accomplishment. Hank Aaron, I'm going to get this pulled up for you. Hank Aaron took the record for the home run record all time from Babe Ruth. April 8th, 1974. So the history of this is being celebrated all the way around, and it ought to be. It's an incredible accomplishment. And I know this was brought up at the time, and I still think it's relevant today to see a black man in the deep South and, you know, to make this accomplishment and be celebrated, not only in a standing ovation, but as you can see here on this video, fans from the crowd jumped onto the field and wanted to applaud and congratulate and celebrate it with him. I just think it's incredible. So there was apparently some scares around his safety, obviously, at the time, and particularly when those two young men ran onto the field. And it's cool because there's a lot of new information coming out because of the 50th anniversary of the accomplishment. And Brad and I have an opportunity to talk to an author who has just written a book about it. So when we get the opportunity to interview the author, which is coming up, then we will be sure to let you know, and we will get some of the deets there. But very, very cool moment for baseball, obviously. A wonderful opportunity to celebrate an incredible accomplishment. But we're not the only ones celebrating. Major League Baseball and the Atlanta Braves established a $100,000 endowment to Tuskegee University in Alabama. Cooperstown, Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, they announced a new statue commemorating Aaron's achievements, and the U.S. Postal Service unveiled a commemorative stamp featuring Hank Aaron. All of which is deserved, all of which is very, very cool. And I'm here for it, honestly. And you should be too. Okay. So take that, put that in your glove and rub it around. All right. As of right now, the Yankees and the Dodgers are the only two teams with 10 wins. It is 9:42 Thursday, the 11th. They're the only two teams with 10 wins. The White Sox, the Marlins, and the Astros, oddly, they've each lost 10 games, and they are the only teams to have done that so far. The Rockies have lost 11, though. They're bringing up the rear again. And Chris Bryant just could not be less pleased, I suppose. How could you? I mean, it's just the worst scenario possible for what would have been a terrific career had he had a better attitude and maybe seen the situation differently. I think I wonder if maybe he's, I don't know. I could speculate all day, but I worry that Chris Bryant's name will go in the history books in 2016, and then we'll never hear from him again. I've said that before. I'm not ashamed to say that. But is his attitude souring how things look for the future of the Rockies? And that's what I'm truly worried about, because he could stand in and really be a, you know, an anchor for a new young team. I'd like to see him do that. I'd like to see them give him some help, but not if he's going to be a poor sport about it, bad attitude. But who knows? We'll see. He's already bemoaned his fate, though. We've heard quotes from him saying, I wish I'd have looked closer and paid more attention and maybe not jumped so quick. But we'll see. We'll see what happens, baseball family. All right, let's get into the game schedules, the broadcast schedules, rather, for this weekend. But before I do, I want to let you know that if you enjoy what Brad and I are doing here and you want to support us, there's a number of ways to support us. You can support your mouth while you support the show by going to ChinookCedary.com and getting your hands on some of the very best sunflower seeds we've ever had. That's ChinookCedary.com. You can use code BTPOD. That's BTPOD at ChinookCedary.com. 10% off, and we get a little bit of a kickback on the back end. So it supports us, and it supports your mouth all at the same time. Brad keeps changing his fealty on the flavors, his flavor fealty, which is fine. He likes the barbecue. He likes the Parm and Pep. He likes the Hatch chili. But for me, Parm and Pep is where it's at. So if you haven't had Parmesan and Pepper from ChinookCedary.com, go do it. We also have links down below for SeedSack and Booking.com and some other affiliates that have been really good to us and that we like to support them as well. But the best way and easiest way to support the show is on Patreon.com. You can go to Patreon.com, search Baseball Together, and from there you can see the levels of support that we offer. Anywhere from $1 to $500 worth of support, and it's a lot of fun. So go and jump in there and check it out. Also, don't forget that we publish a new show every Tuesday, and we come on every Thursday night during the regular season and obviously into the playoffs to bring you the latest news and analysis and updates and everything that we got to discuss baseball our way together with you. Duh. All right, so hit the like and subscribe button. Don't forget to share it with your friends. If you can rate and review the podcast on the platform you're on, do that. Those things help us more than you can ever imagine. All right, the national television schedule for the weekend. Friday, MLB TV's free game of the day on Friday is the Giants at the Rays at 6:50 p.m. Eastern time. All these I'm going to give you Eastern Standard Time. Apple TV Plus has two games this Friday, tomorrow. You've got Brewers at Orioles, 7 p.m. Jackson Holliday will make his home debut in front of, I'm sure, an avid crowd at Camden. And then the Cubs and the Mariners will be in Seattle at 9:40 p.m. Friday. You can watch that on Apple TV Plus. ESPN Plus on Friday, Angels at the Red Sox, 7:10. That'll be 7:10. Saturday on FS1, the Rangers will be at the Astros. What? The Rangers will be at the Astros? That's exciting, except the Astros have lost 10 games already. Your MLB TV free game on Saturday is Cubs at Mariners again at 9:40 p.m. in Seattle. And then your Fox listing is Giants Padres. That's at 7:15. And then Sunday, there's only one game on Sunday. ESPN has the, I'm sorry. There is no Fox game on Saturday. I lied. It's Padres-Dodgers Sunday at 7:10 p.m. That's what it is. Brad did not tell me, I'm going to check really quick, but Brad did not give me a list of series that he's excited to watch, which is totally acceptable and also super rude. Come on, Brad. Just kidding. I didn't ask him for it. I'm excited to watch a number of games. Honestly, anytime the Yankees play, I know they're playing in Cleveland or they're playing against Cleveland. I think that's a great time because super dumb, a Yankees fan, if you can't tell. And then honestly, I want to watch Jackson Holliday do some more work, especially in front of a home crowd in Baltimore. So really excited about those games. There really, honestly, aren't that many I'm more excited about. To be fair, Cubs Mariners would be good. I know Brad's going to be watching the Mariners, so you can count on that. Angels Red Sox, I think, might actually be interesting. And then what's up with the A's suddenly bringing out a pitcher? JP Sears is able to just carry a no-no through like seven or whatever it is. Anyway, the world's a little upside down in some parts of the country in the baseball world. Other parts of the world, it's just fine. But we're not having a super weird year yet. So anyway, baseball family, stay tuned with us as we get into the rest of the season. We get a little deeper into the season. There's more to talk about always. And you can get that with us right here. And with that, baseball family, thanks for watching. We'll catch you on Tuesday.